Welcome to another episode of Coffee Talk here on the Pitcherless Podcast Network. This is episode number 12 here on Coffee Talk, and we are always ready for that next cup of coffee. And weekly, we are following the top news and prospects in all of baseball. And so this week, I am Nate Kosher, your co-host, and I will be leading the podcast as my other co-host, Trevor Huth, will be back with us next week. So if you haven't done so already, please like and follow us on X. That's at Coffee Talk PL. You can find me on X as well, at Nathaniel Kosher. Trevor Huth is at Huth Trevor. But please subscribe and like us anywhere you listen to your podcast. That would be greatly appreciated. So here we are, lucky episode number 12. We have a dozen, and this is our first season, but we're excited to be bringing you updates and episodes every week. And so first, we're going to dive into our What's Brewing news segment. And I wanted to start off with some good news from MLB. And this is posted to their MLB communications channel. That's at MLB underscore PR. This past weekend marked the best attended opening weekend of the 2024 season. The best attended non-opening weekend of the 2024 season. It was the best start to June in the last 16 years, and it was the best for any weekend between the start of any season and the beginning of June since 2012. So great numbers. Fans are excited. And over the weekend, there were 45 games. A total of 1.55 million fans attended those 45 games. And 38 of the 45 games actually topped 30,000 in attendance. So this is great to see. It means the changes that MLB has put in place, such as the pitch timer and other changes to sort of make the game more exciting and move faster for younger fans in the hope that they'll become more interested and draw new eyes, appear to be working. So that is great to see for everyone and great to see for us as baseball fans. Next on the docket, some big news that I will have to ask Trevor about because it involves his favorite team, the Detroit Tigers, but former number one pick Spencer Torkelson sent down to AAA Toledo by the Detroit Tigers. That was the big news and the big report over the weekend in Detroit, that the number one pick in the 2020 draft, first baseman Spencer Torkelson, has been optioned, and instead the Tigers call up Justin Henry Molloy, and he will be debuting. He's the Tigers' number six prospect. He is starting tonight, Monday night, at DH against Texas. But the bigger story here is Spencer Torkelson. So for Pitcherless, I'm actually writing a deep league risers and fallers column that comes out midweek this week. And I cover Spencer Torkelson, so I thought I'd talk about him a little bit more here. But this is quite surprising in that last year he really showed a lot of progress, and it appeared that he was well on his way to becoming the all-star slugger that we thought he would be. So just to kind of cover the story and the backstory of Torkelson, he went to ASU for college. He really burst on the scene right away in his freshman year. He led the nation with 25 home runs. He also broke Barry Bonds' record for home runs by an ASU freshman. As you recall, Barry Bonds attended Arizona State in the 1980s. Torkelson's collegiate career was cut a little bit short because of the pandemic. So his final year, he didn't play a full season. If he had, he would have ended up setting the all-time home run record for Arizona State. He fell a few short, but he ended up with 54 home runs and 130 runs batted in during his career, slashing .337 in 129 total games. So seemed like a, you know, can't miss prospect. Tigers take him number one overall. He debuted in 2022 and got 360 at bats, hitting .203 with 8 home runs. and then splitting some time between the majors and minors. But last season, Torkelson, I actually rostered him on one of my dynasty fantasy teams. He raised that batting average up to 233. Obviously, not a great number, but closer to where he needed to be. If he could be in the 250s or 260s and giving you that power, makes him a very valuable asset, sort of a Pete Alonso type for a fantasy team. But he finished last year with 31 home runs and 94 RBI. And in September and October, he finished the season strong with 7 home runs, 25 RBI, and a 257 average. And so things seem to be looking up for him coming into 2024. Looked like he had some future All-Star games ahead of him and was really headed in the right direction. But unfortunately, this year, things have sort of fallen off for him. He hasn't been able to build off that momentum, really struggling at the plate. In 2023, he was among the league leaders in exit velocity, number of barrels. He was in the top 30 among all of hitters in MLB. This season, though, he's in the lower half of the league in exit velocity, barrel percentage, hard hit percentage, and this in turn has increased his fly ball percentage up about 6 points, and he's popping the ball up as well more. So weaker contact, not as good of hits, increases more fly balls. He's flying out, popping up. So this all led to the Tigers sending him down. Obviously, if you roster Torkelson this season, you may want to move on and get a new first baseman. If you do roster him in a dynasty league, you could probably hold on to him, see what happens. I would expect him to be back later this season in the big leagues. He's still only 24 years old. Many times young players need time to tinker in the minors, tinker with his technique, perhaps regain some confidence. This is not an unusual path that a young player goes through. So I'm not saying it's the end, but it's a pretty big news story here in the fantasy baseball world and among rookies and prospects that we discuss every week. Flip side, if you want to make a move for Torkelson in a dynasty league, you could definitely go buy low currently. His value probably won't get much lower than it is now, and you could scoop him up for cheap and add him to your roster. So that's a potential move if you're interested. But as I said, I'd be really curious on what Trevor has to say about this. So we'll have to ask him when he's back next week. Moving on to another interesting story, and that is the story of David Fletcher. So if you recall, David Fletcher, you may have heard his name in the news because he was also named to be betting on baseball. So he's under investigation that he placed bets with an illegal bookmaker, the same one linked to Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. So Fletcher actually played with Ohtani for 6 years with the Angels. They both debuted back in 2018. So you may have heard of him earlier this season because of this investigation. And at that time, he was on the Angels. And he played pretty well over those 6 seasons, being a utility infielder type. He hit .277 in 6 seasons. Definitely not an all-star, but someone that was a reliable player for the Angels for a number of years. Not a lot of power, but he could hit, and he had a couple of nice seasons. The last couple of years haven't been as great. But what is interesting about Fletcher, in addition to the investigation, he is now in the Braves organization, and he is pitching. So in a completely weird turn of events, Fletcher now plays for AAA, the Braves AAA affiliate, and he is a knuckleballer. So this past week, he made his first career start, and it was actually his fifth appearance as a pitcher this year. He carried a 1-0 record and an ERA of 9 into the start. So not great, but ironically, he's playing against the Orioles top farm team, who's absolutely loaded, the Norfolk Tides. And he, funny enough, struck out Jackson Holliday on his knuckleball. He got him swinging. So you definitely need to check this out. Catch some videos on YouTube or Twitter if you haven't seen it. The knuckleball, just an absolute ridiculous pitch. But he's trying to make it. So he's trying to make it now as a pitcher. He threw 72 pitches total. 51 of them were knuckleballs. Averaged a scorching 64.1 miles per hour on his knuckleball. And he generated 10 misses on 27 swings. So he's trying to continue his career, as I said, as a pitcher. So we'll see if he can keep it up. It's interesting, just with everything going on, he's able to concentrate and become a starting pitcher to turn your career around and try something completely different. You think you would sort of need a fresh perspective and a positive mental state. So he's obviously able to compartmentalize everything that's been going on with him off the field and can turn some success off of the mound for the Stripers, who have a great logo and hat. If you have not seen this, that's the only other time I've really thought about them. I think it's a largemouth bass sort of jumping out of the water. So good logo, good hat. But that is David Fletcher. Next, a couple of stories out of Toronto. This is something that we had talked about last week, and that's Alek Manoah. And just how can we sort of forecast Manoah for the rest of the season, for the rest of his career, and what does he look like, both from a real-life perspective as well as a fantasy perspective, and how do we even figure out what's going on with him? So he plays great, had a couple of good starts. He had a couple of not-so-good starts. He last year was sent down to the minors, came back up this season. Obviously, he's had quite the saga since his very strong 2022 season. But he has an MRI on his right elbow, and apparently he's injured. So he said it kind of just felt really pinchy after last Wednesday's game. He said, do I just keep grinding through this and make it worse, or do I hand the ball to somebody else? And so you got to sort of feel for the guy. He's really going through it and going through a lot of different issues. And actually, in each of his last few starts, his velocity has declined. So it's when you see that, it's obvious that perhaps an injury is behind this. And because of that, perhaps that's the reason for some of his recent inconsistencies. So he's going to seek a second opinion. As of right now, I would say, you know, the jury is still out on how we can forecast and what we can do to expect Manoah moving forward. So he really did put a couple of nice starts together. He went 7 innings in 2 different starts and didn't allow any runs, but his next start is when things started to go south for him. So we'll see. We'll have to keep you notified and updated on the Alek Manoah situation. But for now, I would say let's table that on Coffee Talk as we figure out what is going on with his elbow injury. Next up, I'd like to talk about Eric Swanson, another Blue Jays pitcher. Swanson is a relief pitcher for the Blue Jays. He came over from Seattle in 2022. And so after the 2022 season, excuse me, So Swanson was a reliable setup man in Seattle. In 2022, he went 3-2 with a 1.68 ERA and three saves with a 0.91 whip. So very good numbers. He mainly in setup duty, as I said. And then going to the Blue Jays last season, he was 4-2 with a 2.97 ERA and a 1.09 whip and 75 strikeouts in 66.2 innings. So really good numbers in front of Jordan Romano, put together strong season and someone that you'd probably have on your fantasy teams, especially in deeper leagues. Obviously this isn't a prospect, but it's interesting because he was optioned to AAA by the Blue Jays. He's really had a tough season. The Blue Jays were bringing back Chad Green from the IL. If you remember Chad Green, he used to play for the Yankees and has had some nice numbers when healthy. And Swanson has really struggled this season. So his season stats for 2024 sit at 1-2 with a 9.22 ERA and ugly 1.76 whip through 13.2 innings. That's 17 games. Swanson was actually someone I was circling going into this year and in deeper leagues and bigger rosters, someone who would definitely get a lot of holds if you play in hold leagues, and someone who has been definitely reliable the last couple of seasons. So he just has been struggling this year. And you just never know what might happen in baseball. He did miss the beginning of the season after dealing with a forearm issue, and you'd expect he would have sort of worked his way back, maybe had a couple of bumps in the road, but would have been able to play and take his place in front of Romano. But unfortunately, he has struggled, so he was also optioned to AAA. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and coming up next on Coffee Talk, we'll be getting into a few more news stories before digging into some fantasy people to take a look at, and then getting to those listener questions. That will be up next here on the Coffee Talk podcast on the Pitcherless Podcast Network. And welcome back to Coffee Talk. We are here, always ready for that next cup of coffee. This week, we're talking about a number of different issues, some news stories, and we're going to be digging into some players you need to look at this week in fantasy. And before the break, we were just talking about Eric Swanson and Alek Manoah. I'm going to stick with the Blue Jays and do a little victory lap here on my guy, Davis Schneider. And so at the beginning of this podcast, I was always joking around with Trevor about Davis Schneider being my Coffee Talk guy. If there was a guy who you could look at as sort of someone I had my eye on in a deeper league, someone you'd want to maybe pick up, not a top prospect, sort of that is the Coffee Talk mold. Guys we're talking about who can make an impact. Maybe you're not really aware of them or who they are, but you might hear us talking about them, pick them up, and then that could lead to success. That's what we hope happens here on Coffee Talk. And so Davis Schneider, early in the season, had a walk-off home run. I was feeling pretty good about myself. Trevor and I was joking about it. But over the weekend, once again, Davis Schneider coming in the clutch. On Saturday, the Blue Jays beat the Pirates 5-3. In the 14th inning, my guy, Davis Schneider, hits a winning two-run home run to give the Blue Jays the walk-off. And so he was 0-for-5 with three strikeouts in this game before the home run, but he comes through in the clutch, hitting the walk-off home run. And he's actually put together some really nice numbers for the season. So as of the recording of this podcast, he is hitting 245 with a 349 on base percentage, 465 slugging, with 7 home runs and 30 RBIs through 159 at-bats. He's been starting and getting the look at leadoff for the Blue Jays, and so he's putting together some pretty nice numbers. He has second base and left field eligibility, so also in some leagues that may give you a little bit of a boost on multi-positional eligibility. But I just really like him. He wears like some 1980s style kind of glasses, but goggles almost, and has an awesome mustache. And I don't know why, I just thought he was a good pickup. And so now I think he's starting to become more into the fantasy atmosphere, so to speak. More people are talking about him as a pickup, potential sleeper, free agent for the rest of the year. But second base is typically pretty shallow, and so it might be someone you could still add this season. And he's come through in the clutch now a couple of times. So clutch hitters always make for a fun fan favorite, and it appears Davis Schneider is on the way to becoming that in Toronto. All right, so next, let's move into our fantasy French press segment. That's when we look at deeper players to keep an eye on for fantasy impact. And this week, we're going to be talking about a couple of Minnesota Twins players. First, that would be Simeon Woods Richardson. He is a right-handed pitcher for the Twins. This season, he's 2-0 with a 3.05 ERA, a 1.10 whip, and 36 strikeouts through 44.1 innings. He has started 9 games this season, and he only has 2 wins to show for those 9 wins. Only 2 wins to show for those 9 starts. But overall, his numbers are strong, and outside of one start in mid-May, he's only given up 2 to 3 earned runs every game. So if we look back at his first start of the season on April 13th, he gave up 1 earned run in 6 innings. His next start, 5 innings, he gave up 2 earned runs. Another start of 6 innings, no earned runs. 5.1 innings pitched, 1 earned run on May 17th. 4.2 innings pitched, no runs on May 22nd. So you get what I'm saying. He's been very consistent. And his most recent start was on June 2nd. He only went 4.1 innings pitched and gave up 3 earned runs with 6 strikeouts. So one of his higher earned run outings, actually raising that season ERA to 3.05. So he hasn't gotten a lot of wins. And you might be thinking, you know, what's his value? Sometimes wins are sort of an interesting category. I think maybe we're moving away from including pitcher wins as a category in some fantasy leagues. But nevertheless, he could still help you out. If you're looking for a pitcher and you need some help, I would take a look at him. If he's in a deeper league, definitely someone to look at as a streamer, not an everyday, you know, set it and forget it type by any means, but someone that has been pretty consistent and someone that could help you out. So as far as his repertoire, Woods Richardson uses a four-seamer most often, 41% of the time. Next is his slider, which he uses 30% of the time, a changeup and a curveball. So he doesn't power, he's not powering pass hitters. His four-seamer is only averaging 93 miles an hour, and his slider is averaging 86.7 miles per hour. But he is, with the slider, really having some positive outcomes. And hitters are only averaging 161 against that slider. And so he's getting people to induce weak contact. He hasn't given up any home runs with the pitch. And someone that is getting by with, like I said, control, but not power, still someone that might be usable and helpful in a fantasy league. So that is Simeon Woods Richardson. Next, we're going to stay with the Twins, but we're going to be talking about a Twins hitter, and that's Jose Miranda. So Miranda, you may recall, debuted for the Twins a couple of seasons ago. That was back in 2022 as the mostly everyday third baseman for the Twins. Miranda hit 15 home runs and 66 RBI in 125 games. He had an average of .268 and had a .325 on base percentage. So not terrible numbers. Over the course of a full season, you might be looking at 20 home runs, 80 plus RBI at that pace. Going into last season, struggled, was optioned to the minors, but then has sort of reemerged this season and has really been playing well as of late. So he hit the tying home run and then the tie-breaking double on Sunday, and he's been really hot over his past few games. Now, the Twins are expected to have Royce Lewis rejoin them. You remember Royce Lewis for hitting grand slams and being pretty awesome with the bat late last season. However, he tends to get hurt quite a bit. And so I would potentially stash Miranda. If you were in a deep league, he is at third base, but he has played some first base. So if he could have eligibility at both spots, obviously that would be helpful. He's playing well. So the problem is the Twins are going to have to figure out where to play him or continue playing him, but he's been one of their hottest hitters. And so when he comes back, Royce Lewis will probably take his spot, although Royce Lewis, as I said, gets hurt a lot, and so that's where Miranda's value comes in. Someone to keep an eye on. I'm not saying you have to pick him up right now, but someone to monitor. So this season, total, Miranda is hitting .280 with 6 home runs and 20 RBI in just 44 games. And like I said, he's been really hot as of late. And so I think the Twins would probably – it would behoove the Twins to try to keep him around and get him in the lineup. But the question is, does Royce Lewis get the spot over him? He probably does. But just continue to monitor Miranda. He's also Lin-Manuel Miranda for you Hamilton fans. He's a cousin to Lin-Manuel Miranda. So I remember the Twins played the Yankees and they visited and put up some pictures together, but they are indeed cousins. So that's kind of cool. So next, we are going to talk about some prospects. And this is in relation to a question we received, put out a call for some fantasy questions. And luckily, we did get some responses. And so I'd like to thank people who wrote in with questions, in particularly throwing cheese, that he's at, or they are at, fantasy_cheese, wrote in a number of questions for us, and so we're happy to talk about that. He asks, what minor league pitcher outside the top 50 makes his debut this season and is impactful for fantasy teams? And so this is an interesting question because we're looking at someone deeper in the top prospect list. And if you've been listening, you know, Trevor and I have gone through and we counted down the top 100 starting with our first episode. We finished a few episodes ago, but I just wanted to take a look at the pitchers who were outside of that top 50 and discuss their cases and if they had a chance this season. So looking at the list, there are a number of, actually, you could consider them big names. Christian Scott, who has been pitching for the Mets and who had been doing pretty well, actually, but was sent down. The Mets sent Christian Scott down to AAA a few days ago. He has done, as I said, pretty well, actually. This season, he has a 3.9 ERA, a 1.08 WHIP, and, not terrible numbers. He's just a rookie. But he comes in at number 55 on the list for the Mets. Next is A.J. Smith-Shawver with the Braves, who actually debuted last season. Looks like he has a bright future ahead of him. Someone with a big fastball, a slider and curveball to go with it. He is actually injured currently, and so I would say his ability to have an impact is obviously on hold because of that injury. Next at number 60 is Mick Abel. He is a 22-year-old, 6'5", 190-pounder. Once again, he is a big fastball. Scouting grades at 65, curveball at 55, and the slider at 55. So a number of good pitches. He has the strikeout stuff to be a starter, but unfortunately, he is struggling this year with some walk issues and his ability to throw those strikes. And so that's sort of jumped up and bitten him this season. So just now, recently, the Phillies called up a pitching prospect, but it was not Mick Abel. And he, through his first seven starts, he had 22 walks, 34 hits, 20 earned runs, and a career worst 5.40 ERA. And that's in 33 and a third innings. So Mick Abel, someone who's number three ranked for the Phillies, seems like someone who is a sort of a can't miss prospect, but he's having trouble throwing strikes. And so the Phillies are not likely going to call up Abel anytime soon, but the news is they will be calling up Michael Mercado, the number 30 prospect, instead. He has a 0.63 ERA in 28 and two-thirds innings, while Abel, as I said, an ERA over 5. So that seemed like it would be an obvious choice to be called up, but it seems like the Phillies are leaning in another direction. Next on our list would be Bubba Chandler from the Pirates. He's only in Double-A, so I would not expect him to debut until 2025. Some other names out there, Dylan Lesko coming at number 69 for the Padres. He is only in high A, so don't expect him this season. And farther down the list, number 81, Max Meyer, who we've talked about pretty extensively on this podcast. I would think he'll be back in the majors this year, but that would sort of be a cheating answer to say he's the one who's going to have an impact. So going through sort of all those cases, who I think could have the best chance at an impact, and someone who you could pick up this season, is number 54, Drew Thorpe. So Thorpe is with the White Sox. He's presently at Double-A. He's a righty, 6'4", 212 pounds. As far as his scouting report goes, his fastball is graded out at a 50, slider 55, with a 70 changeup and a 60 control, and rated 55 overall on MLB.com. And so not a huge fastball, but he has that good changeup. And so the changeup sits in the low 80s. He can balance that with the fastball and sort of confuse people. And then his slider also sits from the low to mid 80s. So he has an above average breaking ball option too. But he has that command, and he could be a sort of a control specialist. And I think with the season the White Sox are having, that's another thing we've talked about, that they would seem that they would have every reason to call up some of these younger players, and someone that could have an impact would be Drew Thorpe. So he's been at Double A. He probably is nearing Triple A soon. And through 48 innings in Double A, he has a 1.5 ERA, 0.90 WHIP. And last season, he had almost identical 1.48 ERA, and his WHIP was actually a little bit lower, 0.66. So I think it's someone that could make an impact, especially in those deeper leagues. Looking at Thorpe's numbers this year, overall he's 7-1. He's had a number of outings where he would qualify for a quality start. He has an outing of 7 innings with no earned runs. Five outings of 6 innings pitched, where in those all of those outings, the most he gave up was 1 earned run, and as I said, a 7-1 record. So hitters are only managing a 172 batting average against him. Stellar numbers. Now we know the White Sox are having a bad season. You think they could call up young players and just give them a chance, but we will see. But Drew Thorpe is my choice for the pitcher outside of the top 50 who will have an impact. So definitely keep him on your radar. And just to cheat a little bit and to throw out another answer, I would say Hurston Waldrop on the actually the Stripers, who we're talking about earlier, in the Braves organization. He is in AAA. He was drafted last season in the 2023 draft. His scouting grades, he grades out at fastball 65, a splitter at 65, a slider at 55, control though at 45. So here's a different type of pitcher, someone who has powerful stuff, and his splitter is just a crazy pitch. Definitely his best pitch. It's sits in the upper 80s, but he's someone that has not quite the same control that I was just talking about with Drew Thorpe. But this season, Waldrop has done very well. He's had a number of good starts, and just recently he struck out 11 in his first AAA start of the season. So he made one start at AAA last September. This year, his first start at AAA, he, as I said, he struck out 11 and allowed 3 runs in 6 total innings. They were playing Norfolk Tides, who we talked about again earlier, who's a good lineup, a lot of strong hitters, but still did pretty well. In Double A, he had pitched to a tune of 2.92 ERA and a 1.4 WHIP in 9 starts, and his strikeouts per 9 innings sits at 9.6 on the season. So if I had to give another answer on a pitcher outside of the top 50, I would say Waldrop. Keep an eye on him. The Braves, obviously, looking like a better outcome for the season, and so the strategies might be different in the organization on who to call up and who to keep in the minors. But Waldrop's definitely looked, he's looked impressive, and he's, just because of his stuff, someone I keep an eye on with that strikeout stuff. Potentially someone that might be a reliever ultimately at the end of the day, but you know, relievers can still be valuable in fantasy baseball, and so that might be someone to look at. But before we go any further, we're going to take our last and second break of the night here on Coffee Talk. So we're going to take a quick break and be back with you in a minute. Thank you for tuning in once again to Coffee Talk here on the Pitcherless Podcast Network. We have a little bit more to get through this week before we will be back next week with Trevor Huth and myself, Nate Kosher. But we want to get to a couple of other questions from viewers. And once again, thank you to Throwing Cheese for giving us some questions. He asks, who are some gotta-haves when it comes to non-top 50 prospects? All the top 50s are rostered. So we're going to continue in that same vein, but we're going to look at some hitters past number 50. And so we're going to talk about, once again, those that can make an impact in the 2024 season. There are people out here who are very talented, but just aren't likely to see the light of day this season. So we'll continue down the list, giving you answers of people that can make an impact this year. And so I'm going to start back with someone that we have talked about before on this podcast, and that's Victor Scott. So Scott already has debuted this season. He has fallen all the way down to 96th on the top prospect list. And basically he has a lot of speed, but he didn't do great when he debuted. And he was not doing, like I said, doing well at all. He was hitting below 100. However, he did begin to show some life once again in mid-May a couple weeks ago. And that's the reason I say to keep an eye on him is just because of that speed. So he graded out at 80 speed. He probably still is looking more at someone to have for a dynasty league. But because of that speed, that's a skill that, you know, sort of it would be unmatched. And so I would keep him on your radar just because of the ability to make an impact in one category. If he's called up, let's say, after the All-Star break or maybe toward the end of the season, has a big week with stolen bases, that could be the difference for your fantasy outcomes. You know, it could be the playoffs or maybe you're fighting to get into the playoffs. And so keep an eye on Victor Scott. Elsewhere, another player I would say to potentially keep an eye on comes in the Mets organization. Once again, this is someone we've talked about before. I believe we've talked about him. Now I wish that Trevor was here so I could ask him that question. But that is Ronald Acuna's brother, and I believe it's Luis Angel Acuna, would be how to pronounce that. He has some skills across the board, hitting, running, a good arm. He's not obviously as good as his brother, but someone who can steal a lot of bases and someone that could still potentially make an impact for the Mets this season. Basing that on sort of the same thing as the White Sox, in that the Mets haven't been doing great, but it's someone where do you give him a chance just because he's talented? And if their season continues to go south, what does that look like? And so will the Mets call him up and maybe give him a chance? Potentially. But it's someone to keep an eye on. So a report just 3 days ago out of SNY, out of New York, the Mets designated Joey Wendell for assignment just a few weeks ago. And so that would mean they're looking for someone to fill that utility infielder spot. And so Acuna's name came up. It says one option was top prospect Acuna. He got off to a bit of a slow start this year, but has settled into a groove, hitting .281 with his first homer of the season, six doubles, 11 stolen bases, and a .331 on base percentage during the month of May. He hasn't provided much in the power department, but he's reached base safely in all four games over that span. And so Mets manager Carlos Mendoza said that, yes, he has been drawing their attention, but they didn't consider him this time around. This was on before last Friday's game against the Diamondbacks. Not this time, Mendoza said. Obviously, he's playing well. We're keeping a close eye on him, but we decided to call up Iglesias. So that's Jose Iglesias. So I think it's someone, like I said, could still have an impact this year. Keep an eye on him. Once again, speedster, so someone that can make an impact on the base pass and might be someone that could still help you out this season. Then also two other people we've talked about this year and with the Rockies, that Sterling Thompson and Zach Veen playing at Coors Field is advantageous to any hitter. And MLB is predicting them to debut in 2024. So Jordan Beck had recently debuted for the Rockies. And he's been heating up. We talked about him recently on this podcast as well. So as the Rockies move forward, they're another team not doing great. So maybe they call up another couple of hitters and just see what they have. So that's two more names, Sterling Thompson and Zach Veen, that you could be looking at outside of the top 50. As we near the end of the podcast here, just wanted to give another sort of prospect update, and that's from a player on my favorite team, the Diamondbacks, and Corbin Carroll. So this is someone last year who was the rookie of the year. He was an all-star. He looked like potentially someone who's, you know, maybe even going to win the MVP some year or sometime. He finished last season with great overall numbers, .285 batting average, .360 on base percentage, 25 home runs, 54 stolen bases, so a .25/.50 club member. Also led the league in triples with 10. And was just an awesome, you know, igniter for the Diamondbacks offense. Everything as advertised, he came out and did and had a great rookie season. Unfortunately, this year has been pretty rough for him. He hasn't produced the way the Diamondbacks had hoped. Although he started to show some signs of life in the last couple of series for the D-backs. In the last sort of week in May, he hit still not great, but he hit .240. And he had a couple of games with multiple hits against the Rangers on May 29th. He did have three hits in five at-bats, including a double. And then on May 31st against the Mets, He had two hits and four at-bats. Once again, not great numbers. But then on June 1st, he did have two runs batted in but struck out twice. So maybe potentially some signs of life from Corbin Carroll. But then today, Monday, the Diamondbacks are about to be moving into a series against the Giants. And they put out their lineup card. And surprisingly, they moved Corbin Carroll down to eighth in the batting order. So his slump continues for the Diamondbacks. So they're moving him down even further in the lineup, which is really surprising because it seemed to me he was beginning to wake up a little bit. And I thought perhaps, you know, the last week or so he was going to start turning it around, but apparently they're trying to give him, let him build even more confidence as he sits in the middle of his sophomore slump. So unfortunately, maybe he hasn't turned it around yet, but we'll see. The Diamondbacks are not having as good of a season as I would hoped as a Diamondbacks fan, but that's just how it goes with baseball. So that is it for this week. I hope I did okay for myself flying solo. I know it definitely is better when Trevor is here. That is at Who's Trevor, and I am at Nathaniel Kosher. We'll be back together next week here on Coffee Talk, where we are always ready for that next cup of coffee. But until that time, I hope you enjoy some baseball. And it's beginning to turn into summer weather here where I'm located in Minnesota. So hopefully you get to enjoy some outside summer because that goes great with baseball. And they should just be going hand in hand whenever they can. So maybe you're even going to be at the stadium this week watching the ball game. Whatever you do, I hope you enjoy it. And please join us again next week for another episode of Coffee Talk here on the Pitcherless Podcast Network.